It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network on iHeartRadio, the voice of freedom, the out loud truth. This is where you come for military and intel experts. There's a lot of shows out there, but this is where you're coming to, okay? America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on our media player from any browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa. That's AAA, Apple, Android, and Alexa. We stream 24/7, and now you can also hear them on our podcast on the same apps. All of our shows on America Out Loud, including the National Security Hour, they go to podcast typically 1 to 2 days after the broadcast is heard on talk radio. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart, and many more. So be sure to subscribe and rate the National Security Hour on Apple Podcasts for us. We really want to know what you're thinking, okay? Just tell us, honestly. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part to share the stories, the articles, and the videos, and we know a lot of you do that, okay? So that we can help secure America's future. And you know now more than ever, Mike and I say it all the time, you know, you got to be moving stuff around. You got to educate people. You can find out more about our show, The National Security Hour, and get the latest podcast if you go to the menu nav bar at AmericaOutloud.com. So you want to just write that down or remember it, AmericaOutloud.com, under our show schedule, and you'll be in the know. All right? So remember, this is the voice of freedom, the out loud truth, with liberty and justice for all. So today, I'm back with my co-host, Dr. Michael Scheuer, on the National Security Hour. We're happy to be here today. And, you know, again, every day is a new day in America. And, you know, one day to the next day is all hot news and cold news. And, you know, back in the news cycle is another layout of the coming up is the Hunter Biden laptop. But I know Dr. Mike has a few things he wants to speak about. So let's go to it.
Well, I think we ought to take a little look at it's repetitive. We've talked about the border a lot, but a couple of clips you sent me and a couple of other things I read about our friends in the Ukraine who are selling some of the weapons, most of the weapons, I don't know, some of the weapons we've sent them, they're selling them around the world. And it's not unusual. We went into this war knowing that Ukraine was the most important arms smuggler in the world, the most important country for smuggling arms. And we've known that they've been sending arms to the former Yugoslavia up in the Balkans there, into Northern Africa. And now we had the films of from Mexico of people unloading automatic rifles that were made in the United States and Javelin anti-tank missiles. If you can imagine the cartels having those. And it's just another, I think another reason that we keep supporting the Ukraine, because somebody's getting a cut on whatever they're sold overseas for those weapons. And yet we can't seem to get it into the media, except by the independent media. We'd never take any action. We have a, like you say, a $900 billion military, and they can't even figure out that part of defense is borders. So it's a very difficult situation. But my gosh, wouldn't it be something if at some point we're fighting foreigners coming into the country who are armed with the weapons we gave to the Ukrainians?
Well, Mike, I don't know if you. You saw there was a video out there, Eagle Pass, Texas, where they set up these tents and camps, and there was this lady reporting from there. And I guess she was following Michael Yon and those guys. And all of a sudden, she says, only military-aged men are being bused to these camps, which are being run by the UN in America, which are in the state of Texas territory. So I'm wondering why there is not any of the, I don't know, the mainstream ain't going there, but how come there's no elected officials? They call them elected officials, you know, in the lifetime grifters, right?
Yeah.
Elected officials, the Uniparty, you know, like at least make an attempt. You know, it used to be once in a while they'd make an attempt, the Republicans would say, well, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. At least they make an attempt to look like they're working for us.
Yeah.
But now it's like so blatant. How blackmailed could they be? I mean, how much money are they taking? It's obvious that they're not on our side. And what do you got? You got Jimmy Jordan. You got a couple of guys up there on the Hill, Comer. And these other, you know, once in a while, a guy from here and there, and you say, like, what is that, 12, 10, 9? How many people are there? And how many people are in Congress? And just the other day, you know, Mr., you know, when I get in, if you make me speaker, I'm going to do everything. You know, he rolls over, and he forgets to even think about the FBI budget, 87,000, the IRS guys, the FBI budget, the 87,000 IRS guys that got to be weaponized. I mean, what do they got in this? What do they got on this guy? I mean, if J. Edgar Hoover was alive today, he'd be running three FBI branches. What are you kidding me? This is amazing what they're doing.
It is amazing. It's ridiculous. And I heard this morning, or I was reading this morning, that the Democrats have the mayor of New York sending some of their immigrants that have come in illegally upstate, but they're they're only sending military-aged men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have all of these people. That place you spoke about at Eagle Pass, Texas, that's supposed to be Iranians coming in there who got visas from the
Venezuela.
Yeah.
Venezuela, yeah.
And that the Venezuela end sounds legitimate to me because I know the Iranians are very influential there.
Right.
They put a lot of money to throw around, but they help with important things like the oil industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Venezuelans got to pay back somehow, and it must be in that kind of payback, help them transfer into the United States. But that was a fascinating video you sent. There's a military, U.S. military camp, a smaller one, but that's where these military guys, these military age guys are coming into the country, and they're there until they send them somewhere else in the country. And, you know, we're still at sixes and sevens, Colonel, about knowing what they did with 250,000 Afghans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They may.
Well, I know a lot of them went over towards Turkey, too. And I'll tell you why. Apparently, from what I heard, reports from a friend out there in that part of the world and very, very reliable source said to me that they were bringing in Afghans and others from Muslim countries. And here's how it worked out there. Immediate citizenship passport upon entry, no paperwork, because, you know, we had an election this year, right? So it's possible that, you know, he wanted to make sure if he had any people that were falling off the vine on the election that he had enough people to vote.
Yeah.
See? So, you know, that's what they're doing in that part of the world. So what makes you think in this part of the world where elections always have electronic problems, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing these kind of things. And when you see them separating, military aged young men, we've talked about it many times. And again, we're talking, you're on the National Security Hour with Dr. Mike and Colonel Mike, and we talk about it all the time. Again, this is really definite educational material, but, you know, we're smart enough to smell the roses, meaning we figured this out. And you don't just take military age men from China, from Iran, from Afghanistan coming into our country. This is the Trojan horse for America. Okay. Again, I'll repeat, Trojan horse. You can go read about it in history. Okay. No great civilization survives this kind of thing. No country can survive this kind of treason, you know, not closing the border. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Colonel. And the problem we have is we have a set of governing elite people, both parties, who are only fit to run third world countries. They have no real knowledge of the world. They know how to take money and then invest it on inside information and make more money. And it's a dire problem. And everybody says, be patient, you know, Trump is doing this and the other guy's doing that and MAGA is doing this. Well, we're going to patient ourselves right into national suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow some of us, even an old man like us, old, like me, let me speak for myself. I know you're always young at heart, but somebody's got to do something. It's just insanity what we're seeing at the moment. It's great they're going to put one FBI guy in jail if they can, but there's a whole gang of them that need to be not only arrested and tried, but tried for treason and then executed if they're found guilty.
You know, that's the other thing, Mike. They put this whole J6 together, as you know, so they could scare everybody from a protest or, you know, thinking about, you know, barking back at the government. And again, you know, I spoke about this morning with General McInerney about how from Clinton, you know, all the the technology transfers were just slid through the Commerce Department with Ron Brown and then Mickey Cantor, who replaced Ron Brown after Ron Brown was killed in a plane crash. And, you know, how many trips did Ron Brown make to China, you know, and how many times they went around the Department of whatever to just get a waiver. Basically, I'm sorry, that's okay. So a lot of this stuff that China has in their military arsenal was stolen through here or given, to America. And, you know, that was enough. But W. Bush was not any better. Things were rolling along. In fact, I just saw something just shocked the heck out of me today. You had a lady who used to work for Bush. I think her name is KT McFarland. I may be wrong or right. And here she is praising working for Henry Kissinger. You know, that is totally amazing. And then I saw another article in a major publication. And here they are praising his, you know, Henry Kissinger on his 100th birthday. And I said to myself, well, let's see how many people are praising Hitler this week or Mussolini. You know, I mean, this is Henry Kissinger. I don't have to say, most of our audience is educated. You guys listening around the globe are educated. You know, if you interview 10 countries, if you interview 5 countries, they'll all tell you he's a war criminal. You know, what he's done from his whole career. You know, he misadvised the president many times, Nixon, you know, and now we're praising this guy. And remember, when China was being set up, Mike, Henry Kissinger went over there and set up Kissinger and Associates.
Yeah,
he was the first guy in. He had 2 feet in. So our country is not just divided. It's retarded in many ways, you know, with the senior level people. Here you got people praising. And these are supposed to, now these are the people you're going to see on mainstream media. You're going to see them on Fox News. You're going to see them on MSNBC. You're going to be seeing them on NBC. You're going to see them on the weekend shows. Now, I just got to say this, Mike, before I let you back. To our listeners on the National Security Hour, right here on AmericaOutloud.com, you advise your friends, your family, even the ones in your family that are Democrat progressives, stay off that weekend. You know, that the weekend shows were good when our dad and moms were young and we had knob TV where you turn a knob and it was black and white or maybe color. Okay. That's when you watch the Sunday shows or the weekend shows and you said the political shows. Today you have so much. We have the web. We have AmericaOutloud.com. We have so many things. We have so many platforms. You don't need to watch that crap. You're just paying these guys $10, $20 million to make fun of you. I love when Republicans go on every weekend and they're there. Oh, yeah. Okay, George, slap me a little bit more. Oh, you mean that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. Can I come back next week? Oh, can I come to, yeah. Can I come back next week? Can I come back at ABC? George Snuffleupagus, can I come back? You notice who runs these shows, too. All ex-Clinton and Obama people, they get all these positions. Hey, we're coming up on a break. Oh, speaking about coming up on a break, my gosh, guess who's coming up for the second segment? You guys are going to be all excited. I do not want to tell you what's coming up on the break, okay? Because I think we have a guy, very popular guy who knows Dr. Mike, and he's going to be in. And I think we're going to have to, Mike, I don't think we'll even make it in the second segment. I think we'll have to go 2 segments I'll put a dollar bet on it right now. We all go right. Two segments. You with me or against me? You know,
no,
it's going to be.
I'm with you.
You're not going to lose that bet, right?
I could listen to this fellow for 9 segments, Colonel.
I think a lot of you are going to be excited. We have another special guest coming on. Let me see what we got on the time here. I think we're close to it. We got another couple of minutes here. So, Mike, I'll give you the last 2 minutes on this segment.
Well, I think, you know, it's ever there's a time, again, for buying guns and ammunition. And not, you know, not firstly against the federal government, but against the people they've let in here. And now if we're finding out drip by drip that the Ukrainians are selling arms into Mexico and people are giving military age men free access to this country, including Chinese, Iranians, Pakistanis, Afghans, all people who have grown up with guns. It's going to be not just the federal government that's the enemy, but actually kind of bloodthirsty, military-trained young men with arms and no love loss for this country. And it's just a time for whatever money you have left at the end of the month to get another 50 rounds of ammunition or another weapon, because what they're planning for us is just to have this country dissolve into a fratricidal war of some kind, not just between Democrats and Republicans, but for everybody just trying to keep their families, their life, and their house protected.
You know, I spoke to an intel guy the other day, Mike, who you know, and he said to me, he believes that Antifa and BLM were the dry run for what's happening now, and they figured out how to play the card. And now they got it organized, and we're not allowed to see buses going into military camps or setups by the U.S. government or Department of Homeland Security or the Department of Defense, which tells us who knows if they really left that many weapons behind in Afghanistan. And
well,
I said, you know,
that's a good point too.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Now, you know this guy very well. I'll tell you on the break who he is. And you'll agree with me. I think we got a couple of more minutes. You'll agree with me that he's probably right in more ways than one. I think he did over 35 years in the intel community. And it's amazing. Everybody that, you know, I connect with, and I'm sure the few people you connect with, they're all on the same thing. It's like almost the hour. What was it? Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, Alfred Newman. What me worry? What's going on? And you know, if you people in the audience around the globe, you're on National Security Hour, AmericaOutloud.com with military and intel experts. And today your host is Dr. Mike, Colonel Mike. If you guys out there listening to the show, we'd like you to comment too. There's a place to comment on the website. Also, you can go to our website, twomikes.us, twomikes.us. And, you know, we have everything archived up on networkradio.us too. But if you go to our website, you can comment or you want to comment on America Out Loud. You know, we'd be happy to have a discussion with you. But it's just, this is not normal. This is not even upside down. This is like spinning in a somersault. This is not normal. Your country does not do this. Now, if you're listening to this show, and we know you are, around the globe, you know what we're talking about. You who live in these situations before we did. All right? So I'm just saying, okay, I'm going to go down to the countdown. Mike, you get 1 minute or I do it?
Go right ahead.
All right, so we're going to come back. We want to thank you for coming, listening to the National Security Hour once again with Dr. Mike, Colonel Mike. Our website for comments, twomikes, twomikes.us. You're welcome to comment. All of our other shows go up on networkradio.us. Okay, and we're coming up on the commercial. And on the other side of the commercial, when we get back, we have a special guest who's probably going to run 2 segments, like I said with Mike. We're never going to be able to make it in 1. So just hang in there because you're going to be really excited about it. And I'm going to tell you something. This man has wisdom. And if you read the Bible tells you how you get wisdom. Okay? We'll see you on the other side. Thank you.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company
discussed the harmful effects of spike protein in your body. And now they found the solution, the miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
And we have Dr. Ron Paul on with us today, an old friend of Dr. Scheuer and an old friend of our producer, Fadi. So we want to give Fadi a shout out too. Dr. Paul.
Very nice. It's good to be with you.
Well, yes. I just like to say at the start that Dr. Paul is the reason that the idea of America first, the idea of non-intervention in foreign affairs, the end, the need to balance a budget, he more than anyone has kept all those ideas alive for many decades. And he's a genuinely admirable man, an honest man. And it was one of the pleasures of my life to get to know him a little bit a few years ago. So I guess the place to start is the economy, sir. You know, how do we get out of this mess?
Well, we don't have to worry about that because the getting out of it won't happen. We don't get out of it. We get it. It self-destructs. If you wanted to be able to get out of it, like you get out of a mild or recession or something, you have to have the votes and you have to have a president sign a bill. You have to cut spending and do some of the things, and you can get out of it, but that's not going to happen. We keep working along that way to make the points, but I think that the main thing we want to do is make the points necessary for rebuilding, because the economic system is going to collapse, you know, the monetary system, and the dollar has been on a steady collapse for a long time, ever since the Fed took over. Certainly since 1971, it's lost 98% of its value. We're losing our wealth. We're losing the status as the reserve currency of the world. The deficits are runaway. So that's going to continue. So I don't think we should always want to try. You know, a lot of people say, just get rid of the waste, fraud, and abuse. And I sort of laugh at that's a whole government. That's what it is. So I said, that's just a cop out because you don't want to cut something. So it's a gimmick that they use, and I don't think they'll get it. But like right now, I would say the House is better than it was last year, and we're getting some truths come out, but it's very tedious. So I think the bad guys are going to stay in control. And then both with a lousy foreign policy, goes haywire. Then also the monetary system and the bankruptcy will continue. And then I think it will be translated to the people with higher prices. And then they'll get misled by saying, well, why are the high prices? Well, the corporations are gouging us, and there's better unions. They want too much for their wages. And they have all these other reasons why the prices are going up, but they never suggest, maybe it has something to do with the Fed. You know, they avoid that. So I think we'll march on to runaway inflation sometime in the not too distant future, not next month or even next year. But, you know, in a few years to come, I think the price inflation will be going up for various reasons. But number one will be the manipulation of the monetary system by the Federal Reserve. And then that's when we should be alert to getting as many people on our side. So when I get on shows like this show, two mics, I mean, this is good news for me because you're talking to people and getting them prepared. And I think that's the most important thing, because the repair of the system has to be done with a endorsement by the people. That doesn't mean you have to get 51% of the people agreeing with everything we believe in, but the leadership has to come around to believing in something else. The founders, you know, were a small percentage of people who really knew and understood what freedom was all about, and they were able to manage a constitution that has worked reasonably well, but it could be a lot better. So I think preparation for the breakdown, while you continue to improve what we have, always hoping for a miracle, and hope I'm wrong, that we can't totally reverse it. But it's very important. And I've been encouraged. The traveling I made in the last several years, I've been very encouraged, especially on the university campuses, because not that they came in large numbers, but they didn't come by majorities, but a large number of people, the young people, I feel much better about, because they were very, very interested in personal liberty, peace overseas, and sound monetary policy.
So that, I was just going to say, then the backbone of any recovery or any rebuilding has to be a gold-backed currency.
I think that, yes, you'd have to have monetary reform. And the founders were emphatic about this. And that's why they said only gold and silver could be legal tender. We had the runaway inflation of the continental money, and they knew that would restrain it. Jefferson had a desire. We should add in no debt. too bad he didn't win that argument.
That's right.
and then before you knew it, and they were, of course, Jefferson was against the central bank, realizing what would happen. Hamilton won that battle, and look at where we are. They tried several attempts before 1913, but they finally got their central bank. And systematically, it wasn't like turning on a switch and say, okay, no more gold standard. It was steadily erosion of the soundness of the currency. And you could draw a line that would parallel that of the increase in the size and scope of government and the diminishing of personal liberty. It all came together.
Well, both you and I have lived through a Colonel, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm hogging this situation here. Oh, you must have stepped out for a minute. I'll continue.
Oh, I was just on mute, Mike.
Okay.
I was just going to ask Dr. Paul, one of these questions would be, what do you think about the so-called allies that we supported and bankrolled for years going over to the Chinese money?
Well, you know, the first thing is that we'd never have that problem in a constitutional republic, because we wouldn't be sending that money over there. and of course, that gave us license, because we were wealthy and powerful and had the weapons. And with the reserve currency, it lasted a long time for us to even be more deceitful. So, you know, this idea that the Chinese has our money and they're the bad guys, I look at it a little differently, because I want trade with China. I want to get along with them if you can. But this whole idea of China at fault, you know, we stir up trouble with all these sanctions on China. That gives us a lot of problem. We wouldn't tolerate that if somebody did it to us. And besides, how did China end up with all the dollars that they're using now in investing in capitalism? You know,
right.
Because we had a good export, that we were able to export those printed dollars. So we give it to the people, and then they buy stuff. The best deals were coming from China, and then they end up with the money, and then they buy our debt, and China's all at fault. Yeah, they have a system that's far from perfect, and I'd rather live here than in China. But believe me, we're going in the wrong direction if we think that we're angels and it's all the Chinese fault.
What do you think about the weaponization of our agencies, the way they used them against President Trump?
Oh, I think that's a horror, you know, what's going on there, Department of Justice. And fortunately, I think some people are starting to wake up on that, but that is really, really bad. And of course, the direction has been going on for a long time. And somebody pulled up a speech. I don't go back and listen to my own speeches, but somebody pulled up a speech a couple of weeks ago because the FBI was caught, you know, disobeying the law. And I think it was when I was in the Libertarian campaign in 1988, they had a speech. And my conclusion was very calmly, I was saying, yes, it's a bad system and we don't need the FBI and we should get rid of it. So
you were ahead of your time. You were ahead of your time, sir.
And I always assume that the CIA is much worse because it's foreign and designed to be secret and do this and they get us involved in all these wars. But when it comes to assassinations and control, you know, we had the CIA more involved in the JFK assassination, but it was the FBI that was more involved than RFK. Yeah, but they're both, secrecy is bad. I mean, we're supposed to live in a free society where government, you know, if anything, should allow us to have secrets. But no, we're not allowed to have it. They know everything that we do, and that's getting worse because of the availability of the technology. You know, everything that we do, and that's financially, it started way back in the 70s with the Financial Control Act. Oh, we got to get the bad guys. There's drug dealers using the system, so we have to take away the liberty of the people who obey the law, you know, sort of like they argue about guns.
About guns, so, yeah, same argument. Go ahead, Dr. Mike.
Yeah, the three of us, Mr. Paul, have lived through now since 1945. Well, yeah, since 1945, we have seen endless wars, endless interventions. And the only commonality in any of them is we always lose and we expend the lives of our soldier children, men and women. For wars that the president has no intention of winning. And some of them have been spectacularly stupid, but I'm not sure if I've ever seen one as stupid as this Ukraine business and dangerous.
You know? Yes, and you know, I sort of struggle with that argument because I agree with it. And but the whole thing is, you know, I was drafted in 1962. It was over Cuba, but the Cuba thing faded rather quickly, but I still ended up in the service for five years. And when you look at the body bags coming in, and then we elect the new president in 68, and Nixon runs on getting that war started, I think the numbers were like 30,000 or more American soldiers were still killed after that.
Yeah.
So that was a bad decade, I'll tell and it continued. And but right now you say, well, this one is bad. I said, well, you know, no body bags and things are going, you know, the American people aren't paying a lot of attention, except right now they're starting to shift. Prices are going up. And fortunately, they're beginning to see and hear from some of us that maybe there's an association with spending money needlessly for wars that we're losing. It is related to the inflation that they hate. You know, that is... that is good. But I think the basic fundamentals of our society, you know, in a broad sense of the term, of maybe all Western civilization, it's under attack more so than it even was in the 60s. And I worry about that, that the principles of the Constitution are violated more, you know, without caution more so than ever. And even though that's been steady even since the beginning of our country, but I think the foundation of our society, the foundation of our republic, is in much worse shape than it's ever been before since it was established.
Yes, since the 60s, Dr. Paul, those people are now running this government. Most of those people from the 60s are inside. I have another question on economics. You see, they have this debate going on, as you know, you've been there, the debate about the budget, right? But nobody mentions the hundreds of billions of dollars that we send over to the Ukraine. In other words, well, we have to cut this, you know, social security, the panic, you know, this is the scare tactic. here comes the Social Security, the veterans. All of a sudden, they're worried about old people and veterans, right? And yeah. hundreds of billions are flying across the globe.
They're all agitating to get more in their budget. And the scare tactic is, well, there could be a default. The government won't pay their bill. And I say, what are you talking about? It's going to start. It's steady default. When they print money and you lose 98% of the value of your currency, somebody defaulted. It was a clear cut default. Well, in 33, Roosevelt takes in the gold. That's a bit of a default. You're not even allowed to own gold. How about in 1971? When the foreigners who were still allowed to own get our gold at $35 an ounce, and finally, they woke up and were going to say, hey, we're not going to have anything left if we don't stop. So they quit reimbursing. That's a default. So the default is steady. Every time the prices go up, somebody stole a value out of your currency, and it's sinister. And that's why I think I remember being asked in the debates, what's the worst tax that you can think of? I think it's the inflation tax, because it's huge, it's secret, and it finances the welfare warfare state. And everybody, now that they talk about, recessions, what do we do with the interest rates and do this and that, they have a lot of people to blame, but they never bring up the subject that it's the Federal Reserve that you have to at least talk about, but to ignore it, you can't do that, because then the secret's out. But it'll get out, because I when I first went to Congress, which was in 1976, and I had a lot more negative comment. What in the thunder are you talking about, and why? So they were sort of bewildered. But I think right now, I think the non-interventionist foreign policy, the insanity of the drug war, and the talk of the Federal Reserve, we're a long way off from getting things straightened out. But I think the discussion is getting healthier right now. I think some of this woke business is being challenged by the people. And finally, the stuff that was going on with COVID, there was a lot of awakening there with the parents and all of what they did to our schools, but things are still bad and getting worse. But I still think there's more and more people waking up, and that's why I like to be and encourage people to have shows like you have.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, we think, I think there is a growing realization or a recognition of what's been before our eyes for a lot of time, Doctor, and I think I certainly hope that it continues, and I certainly hope we have the time to to fix it, right. But one of the greatest things that I see that could be stamped down in terms of foreign policy, at least, is the idea that we are a what do they call it, extraordinary country, or it's just ridiculous. See, the founders, I think, at least, we're very cognizant of being fallen human beings, not only themselves, but the entire population. And the idea here is, I think America is exceptional in several things, but they're all material. Great waterways, lakes, fertile land, seaports, things that didn't come about because of us. But we were able to exploit them as we grew. But the idea of exceptionalism is what I'm trying to think of.
Right.
I think that is a travesty. It is a sin against what America means. And they peddle, the other thing they peddle is America is a nation of ideas. It's not of people. And what do we get from that? And we get multiculturalism. We get all kinds of other nonsense.
Yeah.
I think what I was going to say is, basically, we failed for so long to teach this nation's history and the great wisdom of the founders that education has got to be a thing we look at as we rebuild and really strip it down to what it should be.
No, I think that's right. And I've been involved in a lot of things. Political things were always involvement because of an opportunity to speak out.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought. working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity, unlike other supplements that don't work. Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
I first ran for Congress. It was right after Bretton Woods broke down, and I sort of got very interested in monetary policy. So I just thought, well, I'll speak out on it. And my wife warned me about speaking out in a campaign. She says, there's a great danger there because you might get elected. No, that can't happen. But being involved in the education process, I think, is crucial. And I think the enemy knew getting involved was a good way to destroy a system that they despise. Yeah. And they're doing a very good job on this. So I would say that's about 120 years old, the progressive era, to undermine the education. Well, I heard a report today about the school systems in Baltimore and the percentage of people who could do arithmetic and spell a couple words. It wasn't like down 20 or 30 or 40%. It was down like 90% of the people. It was because it was considered the worst district around. It is really bad. And this is one of the reasons why the fault was, and the founders did not give us, you know, this educational system, a federal government owned educational system. And that is the problem, because it's the violent force that the people get from the unionization, where they get the money and they use that money to promote this garbage. So that's where the real problem is. Also the reason why, even though I've done these other things and I tinker around and I do it because I enjoy doing it, meeting other people, and I think it's important, but I also have a homeschooling group, and somebody told me once, they said, you know, we like a lot of what you're doing and talking and going to Congress, but we're hoping that your homeschooling group is successful, because it's very much designed to emphasize those values that the founders had a good grasp of.
Yes, it is. It is indeed, sir. And it must be. They don't report about it much in the media, but I would imagine it's growing by leaps and bounds at the moment. Once we've seen what they want to teach our kids or do to our kids, it's an astounding thing. It surprises me that there hasn't been violence because of it. But all the violence has seemed to have been on the parts of the school board and the FBI.
Dr.
Paul. Dr. Paul, you mentioned about the drug war, and you know, that started out in Reagan. Remember the war on drugs many years ago. And the drug war has been going on ever since. But isn't it amazing that they talk about a drug war, but they don't want to close a border that has all this fentanyl coming across the border? You know, they never mention, once in a while you'll hear, well, 100,000 children died last year of overdosing on fentanyl or whatever. But it's amazing that they don't put the resources, Border Patrol resources, on the border of the nation to fight some of this. And the other thing I wanted to say is we sanction Russia, and they call Russia a communist nation still, but we do business with a communist nation like China, and then we put some mini sanctions on them. So, you know, I mean, how does that work?
Well, when you don't have to be consistent, and that is not your goal, and you don't operate from a principle, that's what happens. And interventionism per se is exactly that. You know, because if you're an interventionist, you can intervene with a leaning toward the left or leaning toward the right or leaning toward the middle. You can do whatever you want. So interventionism is having people come together. They always want bipartisanship. That's getting together and intervene and they buy and sell what you're doing. And that's why I think the principles are important. And this is another place where I've been encouraged, because there are now a coalition's rebuilding. Used to be when I was first in Congress, some of the close allies were people like Dennis Kucinich and others who were progressive Democrats, and they would be open to civil liberties and arguments against the Fed, and certainly were anti-war. But now the coalition is rebuilding, but the average Democrat is not progressive. Then the average Democrat's becoming more warmongering than the Republicans. So
yes, you remember
really,
that years
really
ago.
A
yes.
Shift. Right.
Yeah, yes. Remember years ago, there was people like Ron Dellums and them. They were, you know, totally, you know, anti-war, anti-FBI, anti-CIA during the Black Panther episode. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's just a bewildering situation to be in when there's no common sense about, you know. And the other thing, and I take it rather personally because I'm Catholic, is their war on Christianity seems to be out of control. They have people recording license plates at church gatherings on Sundays. They have investigating Catholics if they're traditional Catholics and dare to want to hear the Roman Mass or the Italian or the Mass in Latin. And it's really extraordinary thing to see in America. And the options are so closed for any kind of effective response. You know, we have courts with judges who are there for life who just refuse to even consider evidence because you know, no standing, no, you know, all of that comes very easy to them. And I think it leaves the American people wondering, what the hell can we do?
Well, all we can do is try to convert people one mind at a time,
yeah.
do our best, and realizing that ideas are more powerful than armies eventually. And that's where we are. But I think this whole war on religion is not a coincidence. You know, if you're an authoritarian, you have to give up on a higher law and you have to develop your own law. In order to do this, you have to have a nihilistic argument about, you know, that there should be no law and no truth and you can't deal with it. And they actually believe this, that truth does not exist. So, and that's what, you know, the true authoritarians want. And that's why they have to, you know, have this little battle going on. And I think that if Christianity, as the Christian religion played a vital role in the development of civilization, those who despise what we have will want to destroy it. So they have to destroy, you know, truth. And it is people who are, you know, if you're an authoritarian from Soviet Russia or China or from wherever, they have no sensation of guilt or remorse on what they do because they really believe they're doing the in their world view that they're doing the right thing. And I think that's what's going on. And that's why the destruction of Christianity is very, very determined. And that is why the Soroses of the world and those and the other are very much involved to undermine our judicial system, our educational system. And their strategy so far is doing quite well from their viewpoint. But it doesn't mean that it's inevitable that we cannot, you know, compete with them. And I think that's the important thing is for us to protect. And the one most important protection is the First Amendment. You know, we might not be able to have this program if things continue as they are. And look how many people when you didn't with COVID. That dictatorship there, if a doctor said, well, you know, we have to look into this and review ourselves about natural immunity. What? You're fired. Get out of here. We don't want to hear from you. We've given, there is no such thing as science. There's no such thing as true science. So they were able to turn that around. And that's why the First Amendment, it should be, and sometimes there's a mix up there, sometimes with conservatives and liberals and libertarians, but, I I try to sort it out more by really looking at the principle of private property. You know, you have freedom of speech. You have freedom to have a church here, wherever you want to go. But you don't have a freedom to walk into my house or walk into my church or walk into my store and do whatever you want with proselytizing and preaching. Yeah. No, property is a good way to sort a lot of this out. But right now, property is controlled and essentially owned by the government. And that's why
property they have far too much property, too. This will bring it to a question from our producer, Fadi Mike. And he said in the patent papers, General Patton famously said, "We defeated the wrong enemy." And then soon enough, he was dead. And also, Dr. Paul, you said, "The real coup commenced on the U.S. It started the day JFK was assassinated." Did you say that back then?
I probably did, because I've been saying it for a long time, but it's been very fresh in my mind because, you know, I do scribble and write. I don't claim I write books that are very academic and all that, but I do scribble with my beliefs and convictions and on principles. And the one right now that I'm working on has to do with, the coup. You know, when did it happen? And I call it the surreptitious coup because it's sort of secret. It doesn't pop up like the way we've run coups around the world. You know, one of the first coups I remember about was Diem. Get rid of Diem in Vietnam and then we'll win the war. And that's what happened when we had a coup just recently in Ukraine. We're always involved in these coups. But the coup that we're a victim of has really started. It's a philosophical coup. It was started with the progressive movement and the rejection of these basic principles, and it has evolved. But my statement said that I've made, even in this recent little article that I'm writing, is November 22nd, 1963. Was a big day. And I start off by talking about where was I on that day. And of course, I was in the Air Force. And I remember very vividly 24 hours before Kennedy was assassinated, he landed at Kelly Air Force Base, where I was sort of in charge of the medical facilities there. But his was a short stop there. But anyway, that to me was a big, big change. And then all the assassinations that have occurred after that, you know, RFK's being killed and Martin Luther King and maybe 100 people met untimely deaths. So I think this is ushered in. That is when everybody should have known. It shouldn't have taken them too long to figure out the CIA has something to do with it. And there's one thing where we can say, you know what, truth, it takes a while to come out. But at the beginning, I had no thought that the CIA could possibly have been involved in that. Now, there's about 80% of the Americans, or whatever poll you look at, that believe that American government was involved and participated and probably created the whole system of getting Kennedy killed.
There's a new idea circulating around now that the bad guys are the ones who actually won World War II, and that the Germans were trying to stop what we are fighting against here at home with the woke Marxist propaganda. What do you think about that?
I haven't thought much about that, but I don't know how to quite figure that out. So I can see the people that I think are there, and they're usually ideological people that do it. And, you know, exactly what the relationship is with each and every country. When I had votes and things to deal with, my approach was, why are you saying this and you're not saying this? Why don't you? There was a vote we had a long time ago, and it was to condemn Israel for, bombing Iraq. And I think I was the only one that voted against the condemnation. Not that I thought it was a good idea. It was just that That's their business. They take care of it. I have enough problems here at home to try to straighten out this messy Congress. And so it for me, it's, the division of foreign policy. And I don't think we've ever gained by pretending that we know what's best for Ukraine or Vietnam or Korea or all the rest. You know, just think of what was going on. And even leading up, one of the hardest things for me ever to consider was that our policies before World War II could have contributed to, bringing about World War II on purpose. I said, nobody could do that. Nobody could. But now I reassess that. And I think, why in the world? And then my answer in my head and without proof is, that's the only way they could get the American people to go against and get willing to go into war is to say that if we don't stop the Japanese and the Germans now, it'll be a much worse situation. So, yes, I think members of Congress and who want to talk about foreign policy, I think I have enough on my hands to deal with the foreign policy that our government is issuing. And that's why we should come down hard on our government. And right now, the American people are waking up and they have made the connection. All that money going to the Ukraine, $110 billion. At the same time, we can't even protect our borders and keep out the hoodlums and the people coming in here. And once again, that's property. That's like invading my house. But this is a national house, and there should be a little bit of protection for us at least.
Thank you so much, Dr. Paul. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, we're getting that point past that 20 minutes, but go ahead.
Sir. Oh, gosh, yeah, we're past that now. I'm sorry. Yes, that's right.
We were being greedy, Dr. Paul.
All right.
I think our listeners would be delighted when they hear your voice.
But you know what? We're going to have you back, Dr. Paul. We don't want to keep you over time. Let's wrap it up. Last words.
Okay. Wait.
Go ahead, Dr. Paul. You could have the last word.
Oh, okay. No, I thought there was going to be one more question, but I'll just close out by saying that I'm delighted to be on your program. I've heard about your program. I know Michael, and I think this is encouraging because I'm amazed at how many groups are out there. Where have you come from? And they'll tell me, well, started back then. And a lot of them were students when I was giving some speeches. And I think that's rather amazing. And the one thing is, I strongly believe in the remnant. There always has to be a group of people trying to hold things together. That's usually a religious thing, but I think it in a broad sense. The principles of liberty, the moral principles of our religious beliefs, there's always going to be somebody there to preserve it. That's why I don't turn into a nihilist, that you can't know truth. I think you should. And that you have to realize there's a lot more people out there that support our views. We just have to energize them. That's what I hope I can do.
Dr. Paul, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you kindly, doctor.
Thank you. Nice to have been with you.
We'll see you again. Thank you.
Okay.
I want to thank my guest, Dr. Ron Paul, for coming on the National Security Hour today with Dr. Michael Scheuer and Colonel Mike. Thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.